Vladimir at PM on Photo Story, lead PM on Photo Story product. So this is essentially a Photo Story team, core team that did this product from V1 to V3.
Wow. And why don't we... So,
Michael, I'm a dev lead on Photo Story team. Started with Photo Story from V1 to V3.
Okay.
I'm James, a tester for Photo Story. I'm also working from V1 to V3.
Okay.
Through the Photo Story product.
And what do you do?
I'm tester.
Tester, and you're?
Lead dev.
Dev lead. Great. And you're just?
PM.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Dong.
He's the guy who gets all the credit, in other words. That's how it works on my team.
I'm
what do you do?
Okay, my name is Dong Mei. I'm a developer on the Photo Story product. I also started to work on this product from V1 and to V3, V2, V3.
Wow.
V1 and V2 shipped as part of different Plus products, so it was digital. A Plus Digital Media Edition that was released in 2003, and then in the January 2003, and then in December 2003, V2 came out.
Right.
And this version is going to be distributed in October, later October this year, as part of a genuine Windows campaign. So
right.
It's going to be a free download. The only requirement for users to be able to use it is that their version of Windows is genuine. So majority of people who have purchased it, retail, you know, install it, so not pirated version, they're going to be fine. So for them, it's going to be free.
Okay.
And for people who have problems, it will alert them and direct them to the Microsoft site how to correct the problem. And as soon as they have a good version of Windows, it's free.
Okay. What are you most excited about the product? I mean, if you had 2 minutes with a friend to show them the product, what would you show them? What would you be most passionate about? Maybe since you're the developer, what would you... show another developer that you built on the product.
Okay, I think the most exciting thing I feel about this product that is that it's so simple to use, and it gives you something you can really show off to your friends and family.
Right.
So in our term, we call it little effort, stunning result.
Okay.
So, and that's what we've been trying to achieve throughout, you know, the development of this product.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you write the code on this? And
yeah.
Which features were you responsible for?
Well, if we simply... okay. So if we divide it into, like, the UI part and the core part, then I did most of the work on the core parts.
Okay.
Yeah.
She did more infrastructure part, which is not visible much,
yeah.
But which was very important. Without her work, it wouldn't be there.
Absolutely. Anybody else want
to? My favorite feature on V3 was the ability to zoom and do any kinds of zoom. And the reason I liked it is because you have this 5-megapixel, 6-megapixel pictures, and there's no real good way to look at those pictures because a typical monitor is 1024x768. 1200 by something,
yep.
You just have a 1-megapixel view of a 5-megapixel picture.
Okay.
So no good way to see it. You can zoom in, but then you have to pan all up. No good way to see it. And the way Photo Story allows you to do zooms, you can actually make use of the 6 and 7-megapixel resolutions and get a good quality video experience.
Okay.
And that's why you see, oh, now I have a reason to buy a good camera.
Yeah.
One of the things that was first in V1 was solved, one of the things was, right, that this is not, though it's a WMV file, it uses a special codec that's optimized to compress still images, video. So it does not, you know, store 30 frames per second. It stores it stores one frame and essentially motion rules of how to move it. So it's very tiny. So for instance, that also allows us to send, for instance, an email. You can send, produce a story,
right.
And you can choose an activity what you want to do. For instance, if you play it for PC, it can be, you know, 1024x768 big. But if you want to mail it, you can have 320x240 stunning video quality, and that video clip will be, you know, minute and a half. So you can never achieve that. I mean, under 1 meg size.
Yeah.
So Hotmail, you can mail it. So yes, it has very good.
And it stores as a Windows Media file
media,
format,
yeah.
The WMV file?
Yes. So as soon as...
You can't store as MP3 or anything wacky, like, you know, or MPEG or anything. It's just Windows Media, right?
We store it as Windows Media because, as I said, that was the goal for us and for other guys in the division to support it and
yep.
to make sure it's as small as
yep.
possible.
And the Windows Media is a great compression technology. It makes very small. I
yes.
know that
for
my Channel 9 videos.
Codec. for this special image codec that compresses still images. And
now, can you apply DRM to the file so that you can make it hard to copy or anything like that?
We can probably do it, but not inside the product.
I mean, you can have the product, you other products.
Okay.
Yeah, you can protect the whole of it. The whole idea is to just make home videos and share extended family.
Yeah.
You wouldn't usually use DRM for that.
Yeah.
But in enterprise settings, you can protect it if you want.
Yeah. Well, people are going to use this for all sorts of weird things.
Right.
Adam Curry, I don't know if you, have you been watching any of the podcasting? Adam Curry is the MTV music VJ from the 1980s, and he's now doing a daily radio show on the internet. And I'm going to do something like this, but with Windows Media. And they actually have a RSS reader now that can subscribe to it and shove it right onto your Windows device, you know, into your tablet or into
Because it's very small. I mean, size-wise, for the quality of video that you get. I mean, we discovered some of our guys, for instance, from Brazil. We have an employee from Brazil. So he goes daily to check out this newspaper from Rio, right? So one of the biggest newspapers in Brazil pretty regularly puts out photo story. So they have let's say, big soccer match. Boom, there's photo story. And since it's very small, they use, download and play. And, I mean, I can show you, some of this pretty cool stuff that people use in in commercial web publishing and things like that.
Okay. Is there a website for PhotoStory
to check out more? Yes, there is www.microsoft.com/PhotoStory.
PhotoStory. Okay.
But this at this point, this website talks about PhotoStory 2,
yep,
which is part of DME, so to get it, you have to buy it. You can download a small trial version, which is, quite limited capabilities, especially compared to V3. But, come October, you can get this for nothing.
Do any of you guys weblog or keep a blog, and are you going to start pointing to all the cool photo stories that you see?
Actually, on the PhotoStory 2 website, there are tons of PhotoStory 2 content, which built by different people. There are great contents like the Scooby-Doo 2 demo and the Halo 2 demo and some other cool stuff. So,
and the team does maintain an internal website where we collect some videos given to us by people within the company that they develop, and we find something interesting, we just archive it there. We just haven't published it outside because of copyright reasons.
Yeah.
But we use it to showcase the product within the team.
Cool. Well, I'll definitely be looking for some cool ones to put on my blog. I love this kind of content. I saw at the product fair some of the content that you're going to show me.
Right.
It's just stunning what people are doing with it. What else do I need to know about it?
So another thing, so what excites us about it, right? So this is V3, and after V1, we had very good coverage in the press and PC Mag and different PC-related publications. And people people were very happy with results, how easy it is. But, we got pretty clear feedback that, from, especially from high-end users, like, PC power users. They called it, one of you called it, our V2 version, like a brain-dead gem.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's just a list of things that they would love to have. And the good thing, a very exciting thing that we can essentially say that, we hit on the head just like 99% of them. Did it again with a very small team.
Yeah.
So it was, for majority of the dev process, it was these two guys, me and James. And then later in the year, we got some help. But essentially, it's a core team. And it's a much more rounded product right now. You can do basic editing within the product. You can do much more creative stuff because now, for instance, the duration, you can control both duration of the photo motion and the transition between photos up to tenths of a second.
Yeah.
So you can create variety of content from, very long transitions when pictures are morphing into, from painting into the photograph, into the music style, like MTV style, like very high-paced clips.
And some amateur users really want to do some funky stuff. For example, we had users said, I have a piece of music which has this real bang at 3 minutes 10 seconds. How do I make this picture appear exactly at that point? So they wanted to really synchronize music and the video to to get the real effect that they wanted.
Yeah.
And this tool is not really meant for that precise professional kind of use.
Yeah.
And to allow that and still make it easy to use was a challenge for V3.
So for us, it was still to make it very, very easy. So for instance, one of the biggest praises that I've heard about it, let's say for Microsoft Crowd, right, when we're presenting, that the guy said, this is the first thing out of Microsoft that my wife, you know, needed to produce something, right?
Yeah.
And I gave it to her, and I didn't have to help her.
Yeah.
And when she brought it to show to her, you know, the school meeting, everybody, oh my God, this is professional, how did you do it?
Yeah.
So that's where we were striving to go. I mean, very simple. We didn't want to produce any timelines and, you know, complex UI that you need to know how to edit audio, how to edit video, how to slice and dice. So very simple, but at the same time, for people who want to be creative, to have tools, you know, intuitive tools to produce stuff.
Now, what are the input types that you can put in there? Photos, music,
photo, music,
voice that you record.
We also have, this version ships with stuff based on DMusic technology that was developed for gaming. So essentially, you can create music on the fly based on the content. So for this one, so a lot of people, I mean, sometimes when people create big stories, for instance, right, you have in the morning or in the evening, you have, you know, a romantic walk on the beach, then you go, into the restaurant, then you have dance club. So there's different types of, you know, moods that you want to convey and different types of music. And so this time we included this DMusic technology that essentially you can select from more than 50 music styles that fall into major, like, 11 categories, like rock and classical and country.
Now, can I use those on my weblog without any copyright?
No, that's exactly right. So people don't have to worry about copyrights. So they and you can specify parameters, like, of course, you know, the genre, style of music. You can specify what kind of mood you want to convey, tempo, how intense you want the music to be, and it generates precise songs. So it will have distinct beginning, middle, and end. So we don't have to fade it. It will be like at the end, it will be ta-da. If it's, right. So it's very cool.
Really?
And you can combine, so essentially in one video you can produce these different moods, different type of music.
Now, can I import video from my camcorder, or is it a different product?
Right.
Are we doing video storage?
Right, we don't capture. I mean, first of all, we cannot aggregate video content here.
Right.
It's only pictures, music, DMusic, and voice. Definitely people ask for ability to, because even still cameras are taking now video clips, right?
Yeah.
So for that, you can do it, but...
That's version 4, right? No, we got to come back in a year.
Yes. Hopefully. But today you can take what you can produce as a video, drop the clip that you import from a video camera in the movie maker on the timeline, stitch them together. And so, can do it. It's not as simple as just using one tool.
Right. What are the tricks to telling a good photo story? What makes a good photo story?
There are two kinds of good photo stories I have seen. One is it's a cool video kind of a story where the content really isn't important, but how you build the story, the kind of moods it creates and the tensions it creates, and suddenly changes themes or changes directions, that's all. And that's something that's generally built by a lot of people who spend some time doing video.
Yeah.
And they know how to sort of let the mood build, change the video content according to music, change the music according to video content. And that's one type of story. The second type of story is just the content itself is such a nice piece of content that you just want to convey the sentiment. It's like a son writing a video story to his father, because I can't meet you Father's Day, but I just want to let you know I'm thinking of you. Those kind of stories where it's a sentiment, it's a mood that conveys the story than just a video of it.
Okay.
Yeah, basically, photos is pretty versatile. First scenario, you have lots of good pictures with your family reunion, with your party, or your trip to somewhere, and you can build that to share to your friends, say, hey, I have been in New York City or somewhere. And the other kind is just like Mahou mentioned, is you want to build an animation or something, be creative for how to use the PhotoStory tools to build animation clip and something. So actually, use PhotoStory, you can do all kinds of stuff, just like how to use it.
Yeah, so I'm going to play around with it when it comes out. So when does it get released, by the way?
The 27th.
October 27th? Okay, great.
So one important thing, why I think it caught with, with press and with people previous versions, because definitely on the market there are products, especially after we shipped. Actually, we shipped it before Apple introduced Ken Burns Effect, so that's the first. But after we shipped, there's definitely people who try to do similar things. But I think what is pretty unique about this is that if you want to produce something fast, right, you just collect your pictures, you arrange them in the order, and the application figures out how to show them an aesthetically pleasing way automatically. So essentially, you don't need to do anything, right? In most programs, you have to take each picture, figure out how do I want to move it, how do I want to move it so the next picture looks good. So it's a lot of smarts that went there already that knows how to move this picture and then how to move the next picture, so it doesn't, that you don't have to do this with your eyes, that with your eyes, right? So it's a lot of things there. And even the most demanding people who want to be very creative, use default motion on a lot of pictures. So let's say right now PhotoStory allows you up to 300 pictures. So it's very tedious if you have to touch, if you want to make pictures move, is to touch every picture, to specify manually. So a lot of people, what they do, they let the story do it, and then they go and tweak, however many pictures they want to achieve some precise thing if they're not happy about it.
Yeah.
So this automatically producing very good results, I think that's where we are.
So there is a limit of 300 pictures. Because I have a folder with 6,000 pictures in it, so that wouldn't quite work.
Yes.
Ask yourself the question, right? How long a video do you really want to watch?
Right? 24 hours. The 24 hours of Robert's life.
Yes. Also, just to add to Vladimir's point, that PhotoStory is so simple to use, we have a wizard-based application. So, it's a wizard-based application, right? You just import your pictures into the application, and then you just keep clicking next, next, next without really doing anything. At the end, after five or four clicks, you're going to see a great story. So that's the real beauty of this whole application.
We did get a lot of feedback from our usability team on that. Mm-hmm. It was interesting because there were so many little things that you don't think of when you're building it. There were things like we show a scene to a user. A user who's participating in a study, and you know that you want the user to go to the screen and do this, but does the user actually do that? You discover that, and that's a nice discovery process.
Yeah.
And the moment the user does something else, you did something wrong. You designed it wrong. The user's attention is focusing to something else and not what you want him to do. So how do I now change the design? So the user, the first thing he does on the screen is what you want him to do.
Right. Tell me a little bit about the user testing, about bringing people here to Microsoft, right. And tell me about the process that, because I had another video that I'm going to play before yours that talks about the user process testing, and it would be interesting to see how you use it.
We have usability labs, and we have a separate person who manages usability studies and arranges this kind of labs.
Mm-hmm.
We schedule studies twice or thrice throughout the product cycle. Once when we have a design ready, once when it's code complete, when it's ready to do some testing, once when we actually change something and want to test it again. So it's about twice or thrice throughout the product cycle of about a year. We schedule something about a month in advance, and the usability person arranges a couple of participants who are interested in coming by and doing the usability studies. And in return for participation, they actually get some free software from Microsoft. And that's what attracts them to come here.
Yeah.
A study is typically for about an hour. We do something like we spend about 20 minutes just allowing the user to play with the app and see what he or she does, and just get their feedback and see whether the flow is right, whether they are getting what the application does really. And then the next half an hour, we just give them a series of tasks and then see how the user performs those tasks. A task would be like, take 5 pictures from so-and-so folder and then make a story out of this using so-and-so music clip.
Right.
Let's see how the user can actually perform those tasks using the software. Or is he able to do it, or is he stuck somewhere and doesn't know how to proceed?
Right. How does your product compare to Flickr? Have you guys compared it to Flickr at all? Do you know what Flickr is?
Nope.
Okay. You should check it out, because it's an online photo storytelling, but on web, using flash technology.
So just to add to what Mahmoud says, right? So we also try to, I mean, we also work with usability, specialists early in the cycle, because some of the things, as we said, was important for us is to have it, I mean, for non-professionals, to keep it very simple. So very often when we had an idea of how to achieve something, how to convey something, we'll just, run to that person's office to grab here and whiteboard or discuss the idea. And the other thing, we prepare scripts. So when we want to test a particular idea, a particular approach, right? So we'll create a script that we want a user to perform, and through that we will gauge it. And so we will break our development. So for instance, on Photos Series 3, the first thing was, which was new for Photos Series 3, is all editing things. How they can crop and rotate and all this kind of stuff. So that was our first usability. So we cleaned it up, so it's right. And then we moved to something more. So the next one was, for instance, the motion, customized motion, because it's a lot of complexity. It's a more complex thing. And another thing, based on what exactly we want to put through users at a particular moment in development process, we also ask for particular type of users. So, for instance, this feature set that we want to, in this study, to cover is more for advanced users, then we'll ask people who are, photo or video enthusiasts. If we, on the other hand, want, just a very novice user, we ask for people who are just new to computers and new to photos. And so that's how we derive feedback.
Yeah. What are some mistakes you see people making when they do their photo stories? In other words, how could they improve their photo stories?
Well, one of the tricky thing about those usability studies, especially when you tell people what to do, right? One of the kind of biggest things for me is that people are not invested in producing something good, right? They're there for half an hour, and especially when you tell them what to do, well, they'll do it, but then it's hard to, sometimes very hard to figure out, whether they're getting it.
Right.
But when you give to people enough time and you give them their photos, I mean their own photos, and tell them, just have fun, then you can start seeing that they're trying, I tried that with this different product, and, oh yeah, this is cool. So the biggest problem, the errors that people do, especially when, I don't observe people who've been using PhotoStory a lot, because people who do seen PhotoStory a lot, I don't think they make errors. It's different approaches to creating a story. Some people just put them together and have something really fast. Sometimes they're painstakingly, controlling every pixel and want to make, complex motions. But novice users, for instance, sometimes they don't preview. So they will go through the whole thing, export without previewing, and then they have to return back and correct if they're not happy about something. But overall, since it's wizard, so we take it from each step and it's all broken into very small digestible portions, people pretty much hit everything correctly. Right. It's just the limit of your creativity and how much...
Videos are videos which are created keeping in mind who the viewer is going to be. And those videos tend to be better videos, because there are some videos which are going to be 5-minute videos, but if you want to show it to your friend, are your friends really going to sit down and watch for 10 minutes? Or do they want something that's just for 2 minutes and then just gets that? So it's that kind of a thing. Keeping in mind what the viewer is and what the viewer wants to see will tell you how you want to make your story.
Yeah. There's not a developer API here, right? So developers can't build things on the outside?
There is.
Oh.
Well, yeah, actually, PhotoStory has a plugin architecture, which allows people to write different kinds of plugins, which makes use of the video PhotoStory application creates and other images that user loads into the application, and also the project.
Not
the project. Yeah. Just the images and the video.
What kinds of things would you expect to see developers do?
Well, for example, you can write CD or DVD burning plugins.
Yeah. So essentially, after V1 and V2 development, there was so much interest from different groups at Microsoft and other in third party ISVs. Oh, can we do this? Can we do that? So we have a very small group, so we're always we're bottleneck. So if they want, okay, can we burn from it? Can you write integrate with the servers that uploads it to this web sharing thing, right?
Yeah.
So we couldn't. So we decided, okay, we'll build a thing at the end of the authoring process, and as a plugin architecture, then you register your plugin, and then you can do, we'll give you photos and we'll give you video, and then this third thing can, third party piece can do whatever.
Right.
So for instance, all our activities right now, like emailing or saving for Pocket PC, and so they're all implemented like plugins. So the plugins that people have been working on is, for instance, create VCD or DVD burning plugin, you know, web sharing. There's a bunch of things that people, so for instance, some of the ideas that people suggested to have a universal transcoding plugin, because for instance, we do, so all output from us is WMV. Yep. That is WMV, so VBI encoding. So for instance, if you want streaming, you need to be encoding a different way. So essentially, you take what PhotoStory does, and then you provide your parameters and it does any video that you want. Right? So those kind of things are possible for developers to do.
Okay.
The other good example was to, for instance, to create a CD for sharing purposes, right? You can, of course, burn PhotoStory on it, but what people find that if you give it to a device user, though it has a CD with a WMV file on it, people stick it in. You know, sometimes codec is not on their machine, they have to go download it, though it automatically downloads, people are confused. So to have autoplay, kind of auto-execute CD, so you stick it in, see, there's executables that starts, figures out what kind of player you have, whether you have the codec. If you don't have a codec, it installs codec, starts playing automatically.
Yeah.
So all these kind of things are possible, if you know. And now we are out of the picture because we provide the API and people can just do it. And when people, and actually, we'll have a website. I mean, we have a website already. So out of PhotoStory UI, when it's asked, what do you want to do now? That now that you produced it, how do you want to proceed? And there is a website that says check new activities with, you know, at Microsoft website. You go there, and if people develop those things, we can point to them from this web page that says, well, if you want to burn DVD out of PhotoStory, you can buy this plugin. If you want to, you know, transcode it into some other formats, you know, take it here. So it's a nice thing that people can plug it in. A little bit restricted V1 product that was shipped in MSN Photos 9, it shipped in Digital Image Pro 9. A PhotoStory 2, which is now available through Digital Image, through Digital Media Edition of Plus Pack, is also available this year through Digital Image Pro 10. And this one, the third one, is coming out as a standalone now.
Okay.
So this technology is getting propagated through different release vehicles.
Right. For the future, are you thinking about doing any group working so that I could work with the four of you on a PhotoStory? Because obviously that's pretty hard to do right now.
Right. So collaboration scenarios, I mean, people raise them up from time to time, and at this point, I think on our plate, technically, there is enough cool feature for single authoring that are, you know, pretty compelling. I mean, if we do V4, it's probably your scenario is not going to be there. So we'll probably wait for, you know, Longhorn to give P2P kind of thing before we start putting it here.
Right.